Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice what he didn't say. Make me clean. He said, Lord, if you're willing, you make me clean. You see, to say, Lord, if you are willing, is a tremendously much greater statement of faith than simply declaring the Lord to make me clean. Because what he is saying is, look, I trust you so much, I'm good either way, because I trust you.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
We admire people who possess great faith. I can remember the first time I read the story of John Huss and how he was martyred for his faith, a priest who had come to Christ and was burned at the stake. And while he was being burned alive, he was singing hymns and praise to Jesus Christ. I think of Elizabeth Elliot, that after the Alca Indians in East Ecuador had killed her husband, Jim, she and some other ladies went back into that very tribe and led them to Jesus Christ. I think of Johnny Erickson Tata. As a young girl finds herself with a swimming pool accident that leads her to being a quadriplegic, and what her life has meant to all of us and to the glory of her Savior. Can you imagine what it would be like to have that kind of faith? I mean, really, can you imagine what it would be like to have that kind of faith? Great faith. Strong faith. The kind of faith that when things go bad in your life, your initial response is, I'm okay. I'm fine. I have peace. Or you face this tremendous temptation, which we all inevitably do, and your initial response is, no, I'm not going there. No, I'm not going to give in to that. The Lord will give me the strength to resist this. Or when something great happens to you, I mean something wonderful, unexpected money or fame or notoriety, and your initial response is, I won't let that change me. The Lord will keep me focused and humble. A life of virtually no worry or anxiety or fear when it comes to the issues of my country or my career or my marriage or my kids or my health or my finances. I'm just going to trust the Lord with that. You must admit that's a very attractive proposition, isn't it? To have that kind of faith. That's exactly the kind of faith God wants you to have. That kind of faith. We were created to have a close and intimate relationship with God. And all relationships are based on trust. In fact, if you think of the original sin in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't simply an act of disobedience. It wasn't so much that, oh, God said, don't eat that. You ate it. Now you're going to get it. No. It was all about Adam and Eve's refusal to trust God. Remember what the serpent said? Has God said? Did God really say that? You see, the whole idea is he can't be trusted. He's withholding something from you. It's a lack of trust. The Old and New Testament reveals the story of God reaching out to humankind, trying to reestablish this great trust between us and our Maker. God wants you to have a big faith. Think about it. Virtually the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is people who trust God and people who don't. That's what it comes down to. Even when God started a relationship with Israel, his covenant people, he had the relationship going on for centuries before he introduced the commandments. You see, relationship is always the priority over obedience. In fact, relationship establishes the grounds for obedience. Could you imagine what it would be like to have that kind of faith? By the way, when Jesus came, he didn't bring more commandments. Not at all. When Jesus came, he basically came with this message. Trust me. That's his message. Trust me. That's what he wanted. That's what Jesus wanted to bring about for us. It's how we establish a relationship with God. It's how we grow closer and closer to the Lord. The size of your faith, the size of your faith produces the abundant Christian life that Christ spoke of. That's why so few of us have it. A life that's marked with peace and joy and hope, regardless of circumstances. Why? Because we trust him. Jesus spent so much of his earthly ministry just trying to teach that bedrock truth. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. The context of Matthew chapter 8 is, again, very simple. It comes after Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And that's important. Because Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, Jesus basically says in 5, 6, and 7 that if you trust me, if you have great faith, this is what your life will look like. You see, this is what it's going to be. This is the great teaching of the Lord himself, to have them trust his words. You'll notice, though, at the end of chapter 7, Jesus summarizes the whole thing. In verse 24, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, they may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Let me paraphrase that. Life happened. You see, life happened. He uses all these great metaphors, rain and floods and winds. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes. You see, what does it take to act upon the words of Christ? All these things he says in 5, 6, and 7, what does it take? Trust. It takes faith on your part. You actually say, I believe that. You see, I believe what he is saying is right. What he is saying is true. And so then in chapters 8 and 9, Matthew wonderfully gives this a perfect position, because Jesus says, look, I want to give you even more reason to trust me. Not just my words, but who I am. He authenticates the words of 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and the miracles that he performs in 8 and 9. He's authenticating what he is saying. Look, you can trust me. I am exactly who I claim to be. And so he starts out in chapter 8. And he performs 3 miracles in this very first section. And each of these miracles have common characteristics. One thing is this: they each deal with the lowest level of human need, the physical. Think of that. It just starts with, these are going to be physical. We have physical needs. He says, okay, I'll meet your physical needs. And he does. Secondly, all 3 groups or people involved are people that the religious leaders of the day said aren't worthy to even speak to, let alone minister to. 3 distinctly different groups. And then thirdly, in each case, Matthew wants to make you understand that Jesus said, I am willing. This is an action of my will. So let's look at the first one. Jesus heals the leper. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a leper came to him. The word is lepros. It means scaly, literally. One who has scales. We've talked about it often in the past, what leprosy does. Of all the things it does, one thing for sure it does in Israel, it makes you ceremonially unclean. No one will ever touch you again unless they're leprous themselves. Isn't that an amazing thing? No one ever. In fact, under the Jewish law set up by the Pharisees, you had to stay 6 feet away from a leper. If the winds were calm, if the wind was blowing 150 feet, roughly. Isn't that amazing? You can't go near a leper. It's the worst possible thing. I mean, not only what it does to you physically, but just imagine the emotional and psychological damage and then the social damage that leprosy does. One of the ancient rabbis says this: when I see lepers, I throw stones at them lest they come near me. Another rabbi said this: I would not so much as eat an egg that was purchased on a street where a leper had walked. That tells you what leprosy is like and what they were thought of. And so here a leper came to him, bow down before him. Worship. Could you imagine? I'm sure the disciples, get away from him, get away from him, get away from him. And then these great words of faith. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice what he didn't say. Make me clean. He said, Lord, if you're willing, you make me clean. You see, to say, Lord, if you are willing, is a tremendously much greater statement of faith than simply declaring the Lord to make me clean. Because what he is saying is, look, I trust you so much. I'm good either way because I trust you. You see, that takes some faith to do something like that. Hold your place here and go back with me to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Same idea, different situation. Verse 13, Daniel 3:13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up?" The image of me was about 90 feet high, this image of Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, "Now if you are ready, at the moment that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made. Very well, then. I'll give you a second chance. I love you guys. But I'm king. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace, a blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" That's a reality dose. You know who I am. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter." Wow. A little attitude. You see, the idea of it is, look, you don't have to bother. I don't even need to give you an answer. Watch what they say. "If it be so." If it be so. What are they saying? If our God is willing. If it be so. That's their faith again. This great faith. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Notice, he's able. Do you realize that every single thing you've ever really prayed about in your whole life, he's able. The issue isn't, is he able? The issue is he willing? But the issue for you is deeper than that. Do you trust him? You see, do you trust him? Is your faith great? Because when you look on here and you read, then he says this, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. But let me tell you something, he will deliver us out of your hands, O king." Isn't that amazing? Either way, we're delivered. Do you ever think like that? Is that the kind of faith that you have? Now, you know the rest of the story, and you say, yeah, that's true, but they were saved. They didn't even smell like smoke. That's true. John Huss was burned alive at the stake. He wasn't saved. He wasn't delivered physically. But he was singing hymns. You know why? He trusted his Lord. He has a great faith. You see, who wouldn't want faith like that? Now back to Matthew. He bows down and he says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I am willing. Be cleansed." Don't miss this. The touch is intentional. Jesus doesn't have to touch him. You're going to see in a moment, Jesus doesn't even have to be there. Jesus doesn't have to touch him. Everybody's watching. Jesus' touch is intentional. That's what's so amazing about this. No sin can defile his touch. See, it doesn't matter what it is. I can touch anything. The leprosy had no effect on Jesus. Jesus had tremendous effect on the leprosy. Jesus heals the leper. Now, Jesus then says to him, he said, see that you tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest. Present an offering, he said, that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Just what Leviticus talks about, go to the priest, show him that you're clean, make an offering. Don't go start talking about this. He often does that. We're not ready for this kind of notoriety. This is between me and you right now. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, and that's where he was, now we see a second thing happen. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion, he is a Roman soldier with responsibility over 100 men. He says, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him. Now, it's interesting, he said, and he says to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. First of all, it tells you a little bit about the centurion. I'm going to tell you a lot more in just a moment, but that centurion has a servant. They have servants all the time. You know what the rights of servants and slaves are like in the Roman Empire. Most masters wouldn't care at all about that, except to replace them as cheaply as possible. But he's concerned, and he says he is fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Just that simple. But not exactly. You see, what about this Roman? Well, Luke tells us in Luke 7, there's some other things about him. First of all, Luke tells us that initially he didn't go to Jesus. Initially, he sends elders, Jewish elders, to Jesus. He's not worthy, he believes, to go to Jesus. Jewish elders. How does that happen? Why would they do that? Well, they tell you then that he said, they say to Jesus, he loves our nation. The centurion loves Israel. He loves our nation. Well, he's likely then a proselyte. Oh, by the way, he built our synagogue. You see, this is a man of not just one moment of desperation. This is a man of deep faith. He also sent friends. After that, as Jesus gets closer and closer, now in Capernaum and close to Jesus, he speaks. Verse 8, the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. You just say the word of my servant will be healed. He knows Jewish custom. What happens to Jesus if he goes under the roof of a Gentile? He's unclean. Ceremonially, once again, not just with a leper, now with a Gentile. He's unclean. He says, Lord, I know enough. You don't have to come to my house. He said, you just say the word. Whoa, what kind of faith is this? You just say the word. You can stay right where you're at. Now, you and I, in hindsight, would say, yeah, but we know Jesus is raised from the dead. We know Jesus is the Son of God. We know Jesus can do anything. That's right. But he didn't. He didn't have your info. He had faith.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.